You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno, as Manchester City fans are just, I imagine, settling down after celebrating their fourth title in five seasons. These were the scenes in the city on Monday as the players paraded a Premier League trophy around the streets of Manchester. Plenty of ticker tape, plenty of topless celebrations as well.
What?
No sign of Nadim.
What?
Which was a little disappointing as we welcome in Nadim Anua, Shaka Hislop, and Jana Agafjordsoff. Right then, Nadim, a lot of people have been asking me, and I feel now obliged to ask you, the last time we spoke, you weren't going to be at the City game. You weren't at the Etihad. You were going away to Rome for your 20-year wedding anniversary or whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
What? Tell me how it played out.
Yeah.
How did you watch that 5 minutes?
So I was watching the game in my room with my wife, and she was watching, just looking at me and thinking, why is he so quiet? And I'm like, look, pointing at the TV. It's because they're losing, because it's 1-0, because it's 2-0. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what ESPN FC will be like if City lose this game. Should I just say I'm sick for a week, or do I have to just, like, you know, just vanish? But anyway, you know, this game was what it was. They were obviously 2-0 down. You're thinking, well, maybe they've blown it. But in fairness, you don't turn it off because they're always in with a chance. And given the fact that they're top scorers in the Premier League this season, you know, there's a belief that they can do something. I thought the substitutes made a big difference in the game. You know, this is a great goal as well. And in the moment that energy was up and it's at 2-2, the belief is like, oh, they can definitely go and do it. They can definitely go and do it. Because in fairness, to this point, I thought Aston Villa were really good. But City did what they did. You know, they obviously did it the hard way. But, you know, it's a team effort again, and the people coming off the bench had a huge impact. And then they ended up getting this 3-2, and before you know it, you go from a point where you're looking at the clock thinking, is there enough time, to now looking at the clock thinking there's way too much time. But in the end, you know, it didn't ruin my anniversary. We had a good day. I was celebrating, and my wife has probably never seen me in that state before. But yeah, you know, it's a learning experience. It's how it goes sometimes. But these were great scenes for anyone on the blue side of Manchester, for sure.
It's interesting that you bring up your emotions, because out of everyone on the panel, I would say you're the most grounded, Nadim, in a sense that you don't get too carried away, too excited about things. But I've just got a mental picture of you sat on the edge of your bed, full Manchester City kit on, including shin pads, and just jumping around and making ridiculous amounts of noise once that third goal is scored.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I was very loud. And, you know, it's glad that you mentioned the shin pads, because I do like to carry those around with me whenever I go into Europe. You know, they're very important when you walk in the streets of Rome. So, I'm very grounded. But, you know, everyone, who, if you support a team, you can't help but just be involved in those moments. And, you know, when I come on shows like this, I try and be as fair as possible and call it for what it is. But I still want City to do well, as you've called me out on every single time I have to discuss them. But the fact is, they won the game. You're emotionally involved with it. You're seeing the highs, the lows, and all that stuff. And then come the end of the season, you know what it means. And I was lucky to be at that parade yesterday, just not on the bus, obviously, because I had nothing to do with it. But I saw some of the players, I saw some of the fans, and all these titles, they mean everything to the club. It's like 6 in 10 years. But the way they celebrated that one on Sunday, it was like it was the first all over again. And that's the nature of the club for where it is at this moment. It doesn't have that 20, 30, 40-year history that other clubs have. So all these moments are huge. And, you know, I felt it. I celebrated. I think every City fan did as well. So, you know, credit to them. I think, you know, they very much deserved it.
What were the players saying, Nadim? Had it sunk in what they'd achieved?
Yeah, in the week leading up to the game, I was thinking, you know, maybe this will be a routine win for City, and they'll be like, oh, you know, we're glad we've won the league this year, but, you know, obviously we'd be disappointed if we've not won the Champions League, and so on and so forth. But then that's the beauty of football in the context of dealing with each game individually, being 2-0 down, and all of a sudden it's not just the Premier League winning comeback, it's a Premier League winning one as well. And, you know, looking at those stats there, they're incredible, and they've obviously got a great team, great infrastructure and all that, but there's nothing that's guaranteed, because within that time they come up against against some really good adversaries, you know, mostly Liverpool. So to finish ahead of a side that's good, that is that good, you know, to be under pressure going into that game, like, fair play to them. You know, they deserve it. The players, most of them were pretty drunk, to be honest with you, and they were pretty much slurring their words and the like. But, you know, you work a long time to get those moments. And I looked over, I saw them, and, you know, I was happy for them because these seasons are so long. There's so many ups and downs, different sorts of pressures. And to get to the end of a Premier League season and to say you've won it, you know, the league will always matter. It literally will.
At the other end of the spectrum, first half, Jan Arge Fjortoff is there.
Uh-huh.
Smug.
Oh.
Smug. Not only had he already predicted that Kylian Mbappe was going to stay at PSG, which he was very, very quick to tell us.
Uh-huh.
He, of course, on the panel on Saturday was saying Liverpool are going to do this. I can see Liverpool getting the win and City dropping points. Mm-hmm. And up until the 75th minute.
Genius.
You just imagine.
I know.
Imagine Jan coming on the show and saying, I told you so.
Yeah, with the hair flowing.
There were texts being exchanged. I tell you what, that text exchange went very quiet after the 81st minute at the Etihad.
Yeah, it did. I also said that Burnley will go down and Leeds will stay in, just to make this right. But yes, I thought Liverpool would do it. And it was an unbelievable day to watch football. I mean, for us neutrals, just watching the excitement in English Premiership was unbelievable. And unfortunately, I can tell you that my wife would see me in a position that she'd never seen before, as the man in front of me in this panel said. But I love the drama. It was unbelievable. And by all standards, I have to say, I mean, great players. They got so many good players going forward. De Bruyne, they got Gundogan. You can put people on the pitch, will become match winners, German international and all that. But still, in the 64th minute, you are 2-0 down. I mean, this is a mental thing, and you still manage to do that. It's fantastic. You have to give Manchester City players huge respect, as you should do with Liverpool. But Manchester City had to deliver. They knew in their mind that Liverpool would win the game against Wolves at the end, because Liverpool can never lose football games. So they knew that they will win it, and still they managed to do that. And so sometimes we talk about all the money and all the star players, but this mental strength of that team, and they show that in the last game of the season, clinching the title, that is also very, very impressive.
Now, Jack Grealish hasn't maybe had the impact that many expected after that big money move from Aston Villa, but there was no doubt he was very much the star of the show at the parade.
It's been brilliant to win my first title. I want to thank everyone, but the main person that I want to thank is Bernardo Silva for coming off in the 70th minute, because he was miles off it yesterday.
In the world, who beat you 1v1? Mbappe? Neymar?
When I was at Villa.
Panama?
Jack?
Me, when I was at Aston Villa, that's why Pep signed me.
Good humour.
Native, it was good. It was fun to watch. Kind of players like enjoying themselves.
Yeah, they certainly were enjoying themselves. Him especially. You know, there was him, there's Kyle Walker, John Stones. They were really enjoying themselves, let's say. But it's good that they could be that open. They can have those jokes. The fans understand it. You know, and obviously, you know, not everybody likes Jack Grealish. But the ones who do, they love those moments. And the ones that don't, they say, oh, look at him, he's this, he's that. But the fact is, he's a champion. He's not had the best season that he probably would have hoped for. But the fact is, he still contributed, and the aspiration is to do better again next season. But, you know, if you're going to come to a club in your first season and win a Premier League title, like, you know, there are thousands of players who would love to have felt what he felt yesterday. And obviously not necessarily to be that drunk, but he's earned the right to do it because he's participated like everybody else. And it was a lot of fun, let's say that.
Well, there are a lot of English players who will be drunk at the same place, I should tell you that. But I think it's interesting also to see Grealish, because Guardiola showed by signing him that he also wants to change his game. He wants to have new different types in there. And I think that he will have a great season next season. This is a learning process. To play for Pep Guardiola is not always easy. And to understand all his demands, I've seen him in so many training sessions, going with them in training camps. training is so intense, you can't believe it. And that, I think that is something you have to adjust, like every other player coming to Pep's system.
If your voice is a reflection of the quality of party that you attended the night before, then let me tell you something. Jack Grealish, he had some fun.
Yes.
That's the sort of party that even myself, would love to take part in.
And he's in Ibiza today as well.
Oh, well.
So that party.
That voice is gone tonight.
How's your voice, Shaka, after Newcastle, right?
Oh, yeah.
My voice is quite fine, Dan. Thank you very much. I was not doing anywhere near the celebrating that Jack Grealish was.
Imagine Shaka with his plaque. The key that they gave it up to the bus.
But to be fair to Shaka, I was watching a game. I was watching Newcastle. And then the cameras, they just highlighted Shaka Hislop like it was Ronald Reagan, Nelson Mandela, Elvis Presley in the stand. It was fantastic.
And how I felt. Andy Freedom of the City with me.
Yeah. Shaka shot the cameraman a tenner before he went on. Should we talk about football a little bit?
Sure.
Let's talk about Jack Grealish, Shaka, in a sense that obviously hasn't had that impact that many thought he had. We've seen it before with players come to City and not hit the ground running. Would you be concerned with what we've seen from his first campaign?
Right now, as we said, I'm not that concerned, because I think clearly when you have a champion, a league-winning team, you're afforded a little bit more leeway, a little bit more time to grow. And I think that's the thing about City's comeback that's changed a lot in narrative that we've been discussing here for the last couple of days. Narrative around this team and being under pressure, around Pep Guardiola. And I think as individuals in the team goes, a lot of the discussion around Jack Grealish has changed as a result. If City had lost and Liverpool won the league title, I think Grealish would have come under a lot more criticism because of his price tag and the fact that he didn't deliver. But all of a sudden, that turnaround has changed so much about the discussion, so much about the feeling, and so much about Jack Grealish as an individual as well, that I think you say that this City team is good. You know it's going to get a whole lot better with the signing of Erling Haaland, and it affords Jack Grealish more time to grow into Pep Guardiola's style, because I think Jan is absolutely right in pointing out how difficult it can sometimes be settling into a Pep Guardiola team. So a lot has changed in 5 minutes of football for nobody more so than Jack Grealish. And I think he'll get another chance. I think he'll come good in understanding what's needed.
Shout out to Jack Grealish, by the way, because underreported, as it may be, when Manchester City were trailing 2-0 to West Ham, it was his goal that got his team back, right? So he hasn't had the season that people were expecting, and yet ends up scoring a really important goal. Now, it gets overshadowed by the 5 minutes that we just went through this weekend, but you go back to that game against West Ham and how they were struggling. They needed a comeback. Who's part of that comeback? It was indeed Jack Grealish.
Does Pep like him, Nathan?
Well, I'd imagine so, since he signed him, and he does still like to put him on and so on. So I think he just understands that, and I think most City fans understand this as well. Like, a lot of the players that we see be exceptional for them almost week in, week out now, they're not necessarily always great in that first season under Pep. You know, there is a bit of time to adjust, to figure things out, to get used to, you know, playing for the club, to get used to the teammates, get used to that level of expectation. Because for Jack, you know, Aston Villa are a really good club, but they're not Man City in this moment. And the standard is so, so different. The expectations are so different as well. Like, if you're not performing, you know, you're being replaced by somebody who is a world-class talent. And before you know it, you're spending time on the bench wondering if you're going to get the chance to come in again. But ultimately, whenever you get put in, you have to contribute. And as Ali was alluding to there, that goal last week against West Ham, you know, which was the second, like, that was the first time City being 2-0 down and coming back last week and then doing it again this week, you know, maybe shows there's some character in there, maybe some leaders. And for Jack, I think he'll want to get better. I think Pep knows that he can get better. And I think if they didn't think he had that sort of belief within him, I don't think they would have signed him. Because for City, it's always been more than just about the ability. It's about the mentality as well. And I think they can definitely get more from him next year. But Jack himself, I think he'll believe he can do more as well.
And for the point where that Xhaka is doing that, if they didn't succeed now in the league, the small details, if how his season is, but we can take it also the other way around. Jack Grealish, the last 10, 15 minutes against Real Madrid was excellent. He scored 2 goals there. If he did that, this will be the Tuesday coming up to the Champions League final where he put him there. So it just shows you on this level how small the margins are.
Nainim, do you think Erling Haaland will be afforded that same sort of time to settle?
I think the Haaland situation is going to be a bit different because it's such a marquee player in a very specific position. And like the belief is he'll score goals. So when you think about, you know, will he adjust to the system and stuff like this? Well, if you've got Kevin De Bruyne playing behind you, the chances are you're going to have a lot of opportunities to score goals. So I think some people might be critical in terms of seeing how many goals he does score. But in terms of style of play, I can't see how he would essentially make them work worse. And the adjustment, as I say, it's not to be really going out on the wing and taking people on, understanding when to go on the overlaps and all this stuff. It's literally, can you be the focal point for Manchester City? Can you add that little bit extra? And when you, like City fans, one thing that they've loved, you know, you see these highlights, people are searching from on YouTube, they're seeing the stuff that he's doing, and you're picturing a player who's in the box that's that big, got that presence, and is this good a finisher? And that's what they want to see, because there have been so many opportunities which City have had across the years, or the last couple of years, where they feel like they've missed out on somebody. And the ironic thing behind that is the fact that either way, City were top scorers in the Premier League this season with 99 goals, and then you bring in Erling Haaland. You know, it's a great spot for them to be in, and I'm sure he will be criticised, everything will be overanalyzed, and if they don't win the Champions League, he'll be saying, well, he was a failure. But the fact is, you know, they signed a 21, 22-year-old player who's got a lot of good years ahead of him, and I'm sure he'll be just fine.
I'm not sure how much you know of this Erling Haaland character, Jan. He looks pretty decent. How difficult is it going to be for him to adapt to a very new situation, as Nathan was explaining, like from Borussia Dortmund, where expectation is one thing, to Manchester City, where it's a completely different level, where you have to put it in, day out, to be guaranteed a starting spot?
You mean this player is 50 million euro cheaper than Harry Maguire? Yeah, I understand. I know the player. I think that's quite interesting to see, because I think you have to put in a mixture that Pep Guardiola's way of playing football. There is a lot of talking about he's not doing a big number nine and all that kind of stuff. But I think this is also a part of the process, what Pep Guardiola tries to do with his team now. I think Jack Grealish and Erling Haaland goes into the same kind of strategy. There's not typical Pep players. Erling has always shown, he showed at Salzburg, he showed in Dortmund, as his development goes quicker than everybody thinks, even himself. But I think he's very prepared for this, because I'm suspicious that there was a time that Spain was ahead of his thinking, that he was 20, 21, and maybe it was the right time to go to Spain, not the intensity of an English football season that starts in August, ending end of May. But I think that he feels so strong physically. He has developed a lot. If you see his body now and when he came to Dortmund, it's changed, but also the mental state of him. Yes, he is a young lad, but I think he feels very much wanted at Manchester City. It's not that Pep will say, yeah, come to us, it's going to be an experiment, what's going on with you. He is told that this will be his defined role. And when you see him scoring goals, he's always in and around. If another scores, he is nearby. If he scores, he's always in the box. And when you see Manchester City play, you just see how many times there is a ball bumping around in that 18-yard box, and Erling will be around. And Erling is not only a big, big number nine. He's so much more, and I think there is always more in him to develop into a more player that can always play even more with the team, the way Pep Guardiola wants all his players to play.
What will it take for us to be sat here in 12 months' time reflecting on a disappointing season for Erling Haaland? Why can we foresee it not working?
Injuries. That's a concern. Injuries. And Jan just mentioned that he's gotten stronger at Dortmund. But while he has gotten stronger, there is a history of niggling injuries here and there. Things that you assume as he gets stronger and he matures and his body and all of these things, that he's going to get better. But there's enough there to be concerned. If he's healthy, I don't care what system Erling Haaland plays in, he's going to score goals because he plays with a hunger and an element of a player who's fearless, who's not thinking about the chance that I'm going to miss. He's thinking about all the chances that I'm going to put away. And I only compare this and contrast it potentially with a guy like Romelu Lukaku. Big signing for Chelsea, big expectations. He was going to be the player that was going to put Chelsea in an environment in which they could contend for a title. And when things started to go the wrong way for Romelu Lukaku, you can see a shift in attitude. I don't think that happens with Erling Haaland. I think his makeup seems to be different. He doesn't need the arm around the shoulder because his motivation and that hunger and that fearlessness that I just mentioned pushes him to get himself in a position where he can score goals with consistency. He knows that's his job. He knows that's his obsession, and that's what he's going to do for you. So if he's healthy, he's going to score goals. My only concern is injuries.
He's 3-1 to be top goal scorer next season in the Premier League, Shaq. Would you put your money on that?
Absolutely. All right, listen, I'm with Ali on this. Unless, as long as he stays injury free, I think Erling Haaland unless he stays injury free and Pep Guardiola decides not to play Erling Haaland as goalkeeper, he grabs 15 goals a season, no question. He's just that talented. 3-1 coming into a system that hasn't used an out and out striker yet have scored the goals that they have over the last couple of seasons. I think that's an easy bet to make, even for somebody like me, who is hard to part with his money.
Well, I've seen you part with it very quickly at the poker table, Shaq. But that's another story.
Oh, what are you talking about?
It's been very Manchester City TV today, hasn't it? Nathan must be very much at home.
Hey!
Meanwhile, for the everything you need to know basically about a Kylian Mbappe move, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. The Madrid press aren't quite ready to turn the page on Kylian Mbappe staying at PSG. The front page of AS saying all for the homeland. It was the first time today, by the way, that we heard from the players to address the subject. Obviously, all of them were asked. Alaba came out and said the focus is still very clear. It's still 100% on Saturday. This wasn't a big deal in the locker room. Casemiro says everyone is in their right to make the decision the way they want. Courtois was interesting. He said, I was dying for years to come to Madrid and I know how special it is to play for Real Madrid. Benzema, meanwhile, said we play a Champions League final on Saturday. It isn't the time to be talking about these tiny little things. What's interesting in just hearing everybody talking is I'm reminded of what Steve McManaman said on Martin Einstein's Galacticos documentary, which was really good on ESPN Plus, was the fact when David Beckham signed, it just took over everything. They still had a title to win. They still had trophies to go for. So does the fact that Mbappe didn't sign, in fact, kind of mean that they can focus fully on the Champions League, or because of the manner in which it's happened, is it a distraction?
This has 0.00 impact on how Real Madrid play against Liverpool on the weekend. The media is going to talk about it because this is what we do. And people are going to ask the questions. But I can guarantee you with 100% certainty that if you're sitting inside the locker room of Real Madrid and you are focusing on Liverpool, you're not thinking, well, it would be nice to have Mbappe, let me tell you. I tell you, that guy, he can run real fast.
Why is he from the south? Where's he? Where are they from? Who is that?
Well, I was mimicking the way that Thibaut Courtois was speaking in Spanish. Look, the truth is that they're not thinking about Mbappe. They weren't thinking about Mbappe before. They're not thinking about Mbappe now. They won't be thinking about Mbappe in the future. It's impossible to get away from it because people are going to ask questions, but it has nothing to do with the preparation. I think it has no impact whatsoever as to how they prepare the game against Liverpool. People want to talk. They'll talk. They'll answer the questions. And those the answers that you saw from the players there were essentially, you could have taken any player and they would have told you the same type of answer. We respect the decision. He's going to stay in Paris. We have to focus on ourselves. We have to concentrate on the final. That's it. That's it. You don't even have to be a Real Madrid player to give that answer. Any of us would have sat in front of a microphone and would have given exactly the same answer. This has no impact. None at all.
Nathan, are you going higher or lower than 0.00% effect on the final?
Do you know what? I'm just going to have to stick with my man, LA, and just say 0.00 again. You know, that's the number. That's where it is. And, you know, for those players, like, the one that I found interesting was the Courtois one, because I think with Casemiro and the like, they're talking about how you respect his decision and so on and so forth. But Courtois was more so saying, this is Real Madrid, this is greatness. And it's almost like he's saying, why would you not make the decision to come here? You know, that's very fair play to him for mentioning that sort of thing. But, you know, people have different perceptions. Now, Paris is a place for Kylian, and obviously that's what he wants to do. But, you know, for people who love Real Madrid and support Real Madrid, it's the greatest club in the world, and it should be obvious that people should go there. But in regards to the players getting ready for the game on Saturday, like, it's irrelevant. You sometimes get that as a player where there's a new story that's going on that really doesn't affect you at all, but you have to talk about it a lot just because of the nature of it. But for them, the game on Saturday is the most important thing. And as Ali said, unless Mbappe was going to turn up on the Thursday afternoon or something like that and get ready for the game, like, what difference does it make talking about a player that never really came and isn't going to be coming at all?
But yeah, and we did hear Mbappe confirm he'll be Real Madrid's number one fan going into Saturday's game.
Yeah, but first of all, I have to start with that. Good that you put me up on that. But first of all, Kylian Mbappe, if you are in a nightclub and there are three girls and you choose one of them, don't go over to the two others and say, I love you more, I want to take you home. I mean, he did the same with Real Madrid, AC Milan, he did it with Liverpool, and this is just the last 2 days. And it's, so I think that the only consequence it can have for the game Saturday is that I expect Salah and Mane maybe be linked to Real Madrid more intense than it's already been. I think that could be a story that they will try to influence Liverpool. But I agree with the boys. I don't think that a lot of influence on the players, but I think that it's great. David Alaba, he had the best answer. I mean, he said that in the dressing room, this was not a big deal. But I mean, that is the only place in the world that is not a big deal. And I think that is also the strength of Real Madrid. Maybe some of them, or many of them, are very, very happy that he didn't come, because they knew that it would be all his attention. There will be his place up for grab and so on and so on. So that can only be positive for Real Madrid going into the Champions League final on Saturday.
Shaq, a bit of shade thrown from Benzema talking about these tiny little things.
Before I get to Benzema, I'm just wondering how much of Jan's advice to Mbappe is experience talking from his Shaka ideas. A little bit of shade from Benzema, especially kind of given their friendship. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're a Real Madrid player and you believe in that club as you do, the club is bigger than any individual. That's how this club has to needs to position themselves and continue to position themselves. That Real Madrid as a club are bigger than any individual. So Mbappe doesn't decide to sign for Real Madrid, that's on him. That doesn't detract from Real Madrid as a football club or who they are, and least of all, and I'm in agreement with everybody here, the game that's to come this weekend. That you take the news and you move on.
Let's take a look how the bookies have things set. As we mentioned yesterday, ahead of Mario travelling to the Champions League final, Liverpool are favourites to win the title. Real Madrid coming in at 11-8. Jan, I assume you'll be going.
Yes, I am. I will look for Frank Leboeuf and see if I can have his French book somewhere in the streets of Paris.
Well, as Craig said yesterday, it would be easy to see him because he'll be in his 98 kit with the World Cup trophy on his head.
Okay. But,
what's your prediction, Jan?
I got a feeling that Liverpool will take it with their big, big passion, but I would be very, very boring and say Real Madrid still, because the culture of Real Madrid and the culture I've had this season, by showing that they always come back, this passion for this trophy, this Champions League trophy, is fantastic. And you just have the feeling that this is going to be Benzema's final, as the Champions League has been his tournament this season.
He's still burnt, isn't he, from his Liverpool prediction for the Premier League. Yeah, that's what that's all about. Nadim, what are you doing for the final?
What am I doing? It's
with his
my
wife.
Daughter's fifth birthday party. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
yeah, my wife as well, yeah. You know, we watch the Champions League. It's Liverpool Real Madrid. It's a great final. Of course, I'm going to be watching it. Don't, but just
what's
not in
the theme
Paris.
Of the party, Nadim?
Yeah, it's just important.
I'm going unicorns.
You sure?
I can see.
Yeah, it's very, very important. It's Champions League theme. You either come in a Liverpool shirt or a Real Madrid shirt. So there you go. That's my commitment to the cause.
I want to see Nader in full unicorn. Well, costume.
I assume that there's going to be more color than in Nathan's background.
Well, five-year-old's birthday party.
Just suggesting that maybe we need a little bit more light.
Just black and white pictures of Jimi Hendrix everywhere. Great.
Very monochromatic behind
Nathan. Much appreciated. Shaq, we'll get your prediction a little later on in the week. Ali, you as well.
You ain't going to go clubbing, huh?
Meanwhile, Real Madrid already over Kylian Mbappe, looking to use that money elsewhere to bolster the squad. I knew I was going to struggle with that.
Yep.
I was just going to say it quickly and then hope that I could get away with it.
Go with it.
No, go on, Ali, you do it.
No.
Tchouaméni.
Hey, look at you. I'm so proud of you. See, I believed in you.
No,
nobody else did.
I shouldn't have doubted myself. I've just gone for it. Tchouaméni then linked from Monaco to Real Madrid, and we are talking big money. Reports suggesting 80 million euros for the 22-year-old midfielder. More Champions League talk to come. We'll be hearing from the guys in Paris on the next edition of the show as our countdown ramps up to the Champions League final.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Mario Balotelli hit the headlines this weekend, scoring 5 goals in just one game, which got me thinking, Nathan. You got any good Balotelli stories?
My best one, if we're going to talk about good ones, I think some of his stuff that he'd do in training, like, don't get me wrong, he wouldn't necessarily do the 8 step overs like he did there with the Rabona, but he had so much skill, and the way he'd beat sometimes, you'd never seen it before. And I think that goal there, as we can see, it's remarkable. As soon as he starts doing the step overs, you can see the defender, he's like transfixed. He doesn't know what to do, which one are you going to bite on, which one are you going to bite on? Then before you know, he's wide of you. And I'm with Ali, I cannot kick a ball like that. That is one of the most unnatural things I feel I've ever tried to do. And I just fall flat on my face. Yet still, you know, I'll just pop my 5th goal into the corner and make it look that easy. But it's good to see him celebrating, because he did used to say once upon a time, you know, I'm a striker, I don't need to celebrate goals. All I'm doing is doing my job.
Do you have any tales to tell of Mr. Balotelli, Nathan?
No, it's really nothing really happened. When he was younger at City, he was really nice and relaxed, you know. Never got into any trouble, you know, wasn't letting off fireworks, wasn't crying in the toilets when he got taken off at half time. You know, there was nothing like that. He was just nice and calm, nothing to him, no stresses whatsoever, no, nothing.
Did you get on with him, Nathan?
Yeah, I did, to be fair. He was a nice guy, but he was just very different. And when you look at the way that City were at that time, they were full of like 25 to 30-year-old, like really solid professionals who were on it 24/7. And then you had Mario, who was a good player, who was a very good player, but he's had a younger mentality. So he stood out. He stuck out like a sore thumb from the way he was wearing like his chicken hat things to the way he approached things on the field. And he just wanted to play football and score and just enjoy it. But yeah, it was a different sort of time. But he's a good guy and it's good to see him doing well. You know, he's doing well outside of one of the major clubs in Turkey. But he's just trying to qualify for the Champions League. He's scoring goals. He's doing his bits. And maybe, just maybe, come the end of the year, we'll see him at a World Cup. Who knows? Oh, sorry, too soon. Sorry, Gab. They didn't make it. That's my bad.
That was bad.
Let me ring that back in. That was a genuine error. Please excuse me.
And he's just come back from Rome.
Yeah, he just came back from Rome.
And he just insults the people who opened their arms and gave him gelato.
Yes.
For more on Nadim's trip to Rome and his pretentious gelato ways, be sure to check out Extra Time, which is available over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's the first ever Europa Conference League final on Wednesday as Roma take on Feyenoord. The bookies have Jose Mourinho's side as the favourites. Feyenoord coming in at 6-5 outsiders. Meanwhile, cup action of very different types. US Open Cup round of 16 on Wednesday. All of these games available on ESPN Plus. Some big ties, including LA Galaxy against LAFC. And of course, Seb and Herc will be here on Thursday with Football Americas to take you through everything you need to know about what happened in the US Open Cup. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you as always for watching. Be sure to stay tuned though. We've got Nadim, Jan and Shaka back, Ali of course as well, for Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali with us, as is Jan and Shaka. And Nadim, I don't know if this is testament to there's absolutely nothing going on at the moment, or that maybe some people who watch the show need to maybe get out a little more, but we've had lots of questions asking how your trip to Rome was and what you got up to.
Oh, really? Yeah, it was good. It was good. Saw all the sights, did a lot of walking, had a lot of gelato. Had a few espressos at the bar, you know, this is just living the life, just being a part of the culture, yeah. It was a good 2-3 days, but yeah, I was ready to come home and celebrate my old team winning the league title though.
What gelato flavour did you go for? What's the go-to?
Maybe I'm a bit boring, but I'm a Fragola guy, you know, for those who know. You know,
I don't know what that is anymore.
So yeah,
what
I'll say Fragola. I'm not surprised, Dan. Don't worry about it. It's a need to know
thing. What's a Fragola flavour?
What are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Don't worry about it, Dan.
Hey, Siri.
You know, we're talking about the stress level on Nadim while he was watching the Manchester City game. I have to imagine that quietly the stress level was incredibly high by his wife. They're there to celebrate their 20th anniversary, right? But you know, even if you're in Rome, you know that if you lose the league at the last day, in the manner in which Manchester City potentially could have lost the league, you know that that would have thrown a wrench into the whole
procedure. Definitely.
So every time Manchester City is scoring, while he's celebrating, you know his wife in the background going, come on. Come on now. Go on, Gundogan. Go on, Rodri.
Gelato alla Fagola is strawberry. Just say strawberry.
What?
No, I didn't ask for strawberry, Dan. I said fragola, per favore.
Oh, my God.
This is bad.
What happened to this man?
Come on.
Guys, I'm having Gamma Cotti on. It's not strawberry, it's fragola.
Yeah.
Nadim, I thought this better than that. Come on.
This man must have scored.
No, I'm not, Dan. No, I'm not.
This man must have scored in Rome.
Jan, what's your flavour? What's your go-to flavour?
Pistache.
Pistachio.
Or as Nadim would have said it, quantora scaducci.
Oh!
Bravissimo! Yeah. Bravissimo!
let's do the rounds then. Shaka, rum.
Whoa.
Raspberry.
Oh!
I'm a raspberry guy.
All right.
Limoncello.
Limoncello. Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. Beautiful.
You?
Mint choc chip. I don't know what that is in Italian. Don't care. It tastes good. It doesn't even have to be in it.
I tell you what, it's not. Fragola.
No, it's not fragola. Nadim, I've lost a bit of respect for you for that. That's disappointing. How did you celebrate after winning a trophy? God, there's not many contenders here. Did you celebrate like Grealish or did you celebrate low key? Where do we start? Nadim, you were more about celebrating survival, weren't you?
Well, no, I won it. It was the playoff final. We won that 8 years ago. And that was a lot of fun, actually. And to be honest, the weirdest thing was how long it took to get out of the stadium, because we were on the field celebrating, then we went off, then came back on. Then you're just in the dressing room, and we had a few dinner reservations, a few places we needed to go to, which are only open at certain times at night, you know. So, we got into that. We had a very, very good time. And then the next day, went to the stadium for a bit of a parade. And I think a lot of people were very drunk, kind of like the scenes you saw yesterday with Jack Grealish, yeah.
As Frank LeBeuf is not in here to say how he celebrated his World Cup, I will do the championship for Middlesbrough. We Stoke didn't get the points they needed, and we were up in the Premier League. So I said to my wife, wow, training is 10 today, but I'll have to be in 8:30 because probably some of the boys will be in early, have a beer or something. I came in 8:30, they were all drunk. I was too late. I mean, that was the best.
They're home. Ali, MLS Cups.
Oh, yeah.
And what was the celebration?
Well, just the standard that you see in television with all the American sports.
Right.
And they, you know, you cover the locker and then it's just beer and champagne everywhere.
Beautiful.
It's nice when you're walking into a locker room and they're handing you goggles.
Right.
Yeah. Like underwater goggles.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you meant.
Thank you, Dan. I just wanted to clarify. I didn't say fragola. I wasn't sure if you knew or you didn't know. Right? In any case, so they're handing you goggles. You know that the celebration.
Yes.
What people may not understand is that the day becomes very long when you're winning, right? And you're celebrating. You're celebrating on the field.
Yep.
You're celebrating in the locker room. And at some point, you want to eat something. You want to see your family. And then you kind of tie that up into the party that goes on for the remainder of the night.
Right.
You know full well, Dan, that this is not where I thrive.
No.
And yet I participated.
Wow.
Fully participated. Wow. And my voice was very much like Grealish.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is not unlike me.
Dan, if I may say, I was a team manager for a club in Norway and we won the cup. Sorry, there's a lot of alcohol in this story as well, as we've done all day today. I was sitting there. I said to the boys, if we win this final, I will go all in for the champagne. And I was sitting and waiting for my wife. Why didn't she come to the official dinner? And I took off my phone and I called her. I said, where are you? Why aren't you not here? And I just heard her, I'm here and you are sitting on the stage with the president. And then I looked around and I had drunk too much champagne and then I went home. Breaking news. Good team manager.
Oh, yes. Shaka, I imagine Trinidad and Tobago qualifying for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go back to Trinidad after we qualified for the World Cup. I went straight back to West Ham. We were away at White Hart Lane. Ever the consummate professional, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you mean to tell me, Shaka, that you did not celebrate that night? Is this what you're telling me, Shaq?
I went straight to bed, Ali. Had a big game the next day.
Are you kidding me? When's been your biggest night out then, Shaq? The biggest celebratory night out?
Pick a night, any night, Dan. I don't need much to celebrate. I think the fact that it's a Thursday is as good an excuse as any.
Fair enough, Shaka. There we go. Yeah.
Nobody disappears like Shaka does.
I know, Shaka's got contacts everywhere as well. It's impressive.
No.
You want a good time, you go with Shaka.
Yeah, hey. Definitely.
Move
for Jan.
On.
And now he's got the keys to the city.
For Jan, who is more likely to win the Champions League first, Haaland or Mbappe?
Oh, I will say now that Manchester City will win the Champions League next season. This is my prediction. They will win the next season with Grealish making a pass to Erling Haaland 1-0.
Oh. Where are you going to go? Which European city are you going to go for that final, Nadum?
Dan, don't even worry about it, okay? I know you're in this mood, you're feeling very jovial, trying to wind me up, but you know, I support the champions of England, my friend. Let me enjoy life. You do what you do, my friend. You do what you do.
That's all right. That's good. I'm just planning, just helping you plan.
What happened? Hey, is Craig Burley in today? Nadum, is he?
Wow, Nadum. Wow. Wow, that's an insult.
Wait a minute.
That's okay. Below the belt.
Hey, Nadum, no, you can't take that, Nadum. Come on now.
Ali.
I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a word anyway. It's just done. Okay. Ask someone else, Dan. Let's move on.
Okay. Which I've heard Craig say many times as well. Ali, can a midfield of Tchouaméni, Valverde and Camavinga able to replace Cruz, Modric and Casemiro?
It's a very good midfield that now Real Madrid have put together and eventually will take over those big names. You don't have there, in those names that you just mentioned, you don't have a guy quite like Casemiro. That right. Can hold the line.
It doesn't get sent off no matter what.
Correct. And that somehow he kicks everybody and stays on the field. But you need that guy. You don't quite have that guy. You could play with a double pivot with Tchouaméni and Camavinga. That would work out quite well. And then Valverde with the up and back. Tchouaméni is a guy that likes to go up and back as well. I think that then puts Camavinga in a position where he plays that role. I don't think that's what he does best. So you're still sort of missing that piece, but in a game here and there, you put these three guys together, and I think the future is bright for Real Madrid.
For Jan, why does Lewandowski so desperately want to join Barcelona of all clubs right now?
I think, first of all, there is a seat available, as we say in Formula One. That is one of the
We're
things...
We're not in Formula One. What do you do in Formula One, Jan?
I am one of the most famous people in Formula One. As I am a big fan of Verstappen, who is flying at the moment. I think that this is all about timing. And when we went into this mad season with Mbappé, Erling Haaland, with Lewandowski coming up now, likely to go, he saw that... His first destination was always Real Madrid. He's been linked to them. He's been denied going to Real Madrid. But at this time now, it was Barcelona who was closest, who had a seat available. I can't find another metaphor, Dan, help me. But I think that he wants another adventure. And you don't want to go an adventure and go north. You have to go south. You have to go somewhere else to a big, big club in Barcelona. I think it could also be a good timing for him to come to Barcelona because you just feel that they will have, develop further next season.
Side note, Verstappen was really funny this past weekend.
With the DRS.
Yeah, trying to activate the DRS and it wasn't working. And then the guy's getting on the mic telling him, hey, just press the button once. I said, I'm pressing the button, man! I'm pressing the button, it's not working. All right.
Still winning.
Shaka, It is getting dangerously close to sweating season in the Hislop household. Will you pay for AC this year,
yep,
or are you saving for your next yacht ride to Trinidad and Tobago?
I need every penny I can get for a good night out in Trinidad. I'm desperate.
Final question.
The answer is no, by the way, on the AC.
Yes. Oh, no, I know. We know Nadim is now a renowned author.
Uh-huh.
Book's out now, isn't it? I was just taking a look at the reviews on Amazon.
And how's it going?
What a great read, and what a gentleman. Amazing reading about his career and the ups and downs along the way. This is a must-read, people. Enanua. Wrote that? Apparently a verified purchase. And this
Listen,
is
I try
basically
to be my own biggest critic, but it's flawless. It's flawless, yep, yep. That's the issue.
And then it obviously said
that's
to his wife,
problem.
Look, can you do one as well, please? And she's written, like the book, very informative.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
Those are the two reviews. Okay, we know Nadim is now a renowned author. Who is next on the panel to pen their autobiography? Shaka, Ali, or Jan?
Ooh. I would make it. I would say Shaka must be the next one.
Really?
Shaka.
Yeah, but there's so many stories he can't publish.
I know. That's, well, we know that Jan goes clubbing. That's something he could write about. But I think Shaka would be the one. If he's a tell-all, then I'm going to say Shaka.
Yeah.
Shaka,
yeah.
There's plenty of material to work with.
Jan?
Well, I'm so wise that I made my autobiography when I was 30. I mean, how can you do that?
You're one of those people.
Yeah, one of those people. I experienced so many things, been so visionary about the future. So I did it that time. But if I may say, Dan, the book that I want after this session that I want to see is Nadim doing my wild days in Rome. I mean, that could be a fantastic story.
Much gelato, espresso,
fragola. Yeah, like a strawberry ice cream. No, it's
no,
not
no,
strawberry.
No. Fragola.
Oh, my goodness me. How are the book sales going, Nadim? Good?
Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, incredible. I think it's a New York Times bestseller. Yeah, I'm sure everything's going well. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking.
It's all about the advance.
Congratulations.
Never mind the congratulations. It's all about the advance, Nadim.
Congratulations. See, Shaka's done his homework.
Oh, I know.
See, he's put in the legwork. It's like, okay, so how much is the advance is going to be?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How many stories can I tell you? You know Shaka would be into this big time.
What would we call it? Answers on a postcard.
Power rankings.
My life with big gloves.
My life with big gloves. Oh dear, that's it. What was yours called, Jan?
You need to spell it. Make sure you spell that properly, please. Jan.
Loved and hated.
Yours was called what? Loved and hated.
Yeah, there should be a symbol of being a striker and how to be an idiot and how to be a good guy. So I was in the middle somewhere. 30 years of age, autobiography. You can have one. I got a lot of them in my garage.
What was your advance? How much did you get paid for that, Jan?
Oh, I was unbelievably well paid. I mean, everything
really?
You can see in that screen is paid for by that book.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, is that the same going on with Nadim?
On that note, ESPN FC is back tomorrow. Be sure to look at Ali, look at laughing at his own joke. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be hearing from the guys in Paris. Looking ahead to the Champions League.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.